You are tuning in to CKUW 95.9 FM. You just heard the track Poison Arrow from Yule. And this is the start of something very special. We have a little interview happening now with the Two-Spirit Archives Advisory Council at the University of Winnipeg Library. We are here with Danielle.
Hello.
And we are here with Brett.
Hello.
And I guess, yeah, to start it off, just get right into it. I'm also here with Megan of Megpunk fame.
Hello.
And we just want to ask, just starting off, who are you? Tell us about yourselves.
Danielle Marie Bitz, Dishinagashin. My name is Danielle Marie Bitz. I am the Indigenous Engagement Librarian here at the University of Winnipeg. I'm a citizen of the Métis Nation. And I have membership in the citizenship in the MMF. Mm-hmm. I use she and they pronouns. What else would you like to know?
How did you become involved with the council?
A former member of the council approached me when I started here at the University of Winnipeg, and mm-hmm. She knew members of my family from the academic community and knew that I might be a good fit for the council.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go in more into depth with that, but does Brett want to introduce himself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Brett Lahid. I'm the University Archivist and Digital Curator at the University of Winnipeg Archives, where we are proud stewards of the Two-Spirit Archives. And as the University Archivist, I'm kind of a default co-chair of the Two-Spirit Archives Advisory Council. So, yeah, we're excited to be here and to tell you all about the Two-Spirit Archives.
Yeah, thank you for coming on and talking with us. So tell us about the Two-Spirit Archives Advisory Council. What would you say is the mission of the council? And what do you guys do on a day-to-day basis, or the operations, I suppose?
Yeah, so the Two-Spirit Archives was established in 2019, and it's a collection of records, historical material, written by and about Two-Spirit people. So there is a large gap in the historical record relating to Two-Spirit people. Mm-hmm. Two-Spirit people have been systematically erased from the colonial history here in Canada and across Turtle Island. And so the Two-Spirit Archives was established to try and enhance representation of Two-Spirit people in Canadian documentary heritage. We, of course, wanted the community to be directly involved in the stewardship of the records. Mm-hmm. And so one of the first things we decided was to meet with the community. Albert McLeod is the original donor to the Two-Spirit Archives. And so there was some mutual agreement between myself and Albert to try and build his initial donation into something a little bit larger and more encompassing of the community. So we met with community members, and one of the first things that we decided was that there needs to be a community voice guiding and leading the development of this collection. So we established mm-hmm. a Two-Spirit Archives Advisory Council, which consists of Two-Spirit and Indigiqueer folks, and they provide guidance and feedback on really every aspect of development of the archives. And we tend to meet quarterly, so it's not a day-to-day thing for the advisory council, but myself as university archivist, I do kind of all the behind the scenes work, so it is more of a day-to-day experience for myself.
Yeah, amazing.
I would add that we do some education sessions with various classes at the university, mm-hmm. and also with various community groups. So there is some ongoing in-between meetings work that the archives does and people involved in the archives does between meetings.
Amazing. How would you say, this is a question for you, Danielle, how would you say your duties as the Indigenous Engagement Librarian, how would you say they translate to the work with the Advisory Council, and what are your duties at that job?
Wow. So in addition to being a subject librarian, I'm the subject librarian for Indigenous Studies, Women and Gender Studies, and Disability Studies. And mm-hmm. in addition to that role, I'm also the Indigenous Engagement Librarian. So yeah. that dual role has me do a lot of research consultation. I do education around Indigenous information literacy, looking at how we find and evaluate resources about Indigenous people, sort of like primary sources, but also a lot of the secondary writing that we use when we're writing essays at an academic level. But I also do a lot of outreach work, sort of in the on campus, but also in the wider community.
Lovely.
And I don't know that I could separate the two. I don't know that my work on campus, which, you know, is everything I listed, plus a whole bunch of committee work and some of the work that I do in writing and presenting at different conferences, I don't think I could separate that from what I do at the archives. So they inform each other.
Yeah.
It's really hard to silo these things off. Like when we're talking about Indigenous cultures, we have to think in a interconnected way.
Yeah.
And so the work I do at the Two Spirit Archives keeps my academic practice grounded in community.
Mm-hmm.
And the work I do as an academic influences the way that I approach the work I do at the Two Spirit Archives.
You're intrinsically linked, you could say. It's awesome. And when and how did the archives begin? How did they get founded?
So they started in 2011, really, with that initial donation from Elder Albert McLeod, who is a longtime Two-Spirit advocate, yeah. Not only here in the city, but has a national and even international reputation. So he donated his initial collection of records to the University Archives in 2011 and has continued to add to that collection over the years. So that was kind of the initial donation for the collection. And then, as I mentioned, when I came to the University of Winnipeg Archives, you know, I realized how special and unique this collection of records was. I was mm-hmm. I came from the University of Manitoba Archives, where they host the Gay and Lesbian Archives, and people would come in, access that collection, and realize that there was no material about Two-Spirit people. So we were always directing people to the University of Winnipeg to see what was at that time known as the Two-Spirited Collection, and that was Albert's records. So when I came to the UW, I realized this resource was here and was very unique and special. And after I was able to make contact with Albert, you know, we developed a relationship and, you know, together decided that we need to do more. And so that was when we met with the community. We talked about the need for an archives, whether it was appropriate to start an archives, whether it was appropriate for that to be at the University of Winnipeg, and then, you know, what involvement the community needed to have in order to develop it. And so we kind of came to those decisions around 2019, and the collection's been growing ever since.
Amazing. How has it been like just watching, I guess, being there from more or less the start of it? What has it been like watching it grow over the years, and how would you say that's like?
For me, it's been really special, really rewarding. To me, the most rewarding part is to see the community in the archives, interacting with the records, mm-hmm. seeing themselves represented in the collections, and that being, you know, a really unique experience because of the lack of records of Two-Spirit people in Canadian archives. And to see it, you know, we now have a banner stand and pamphlets, and, you know, we present it at different community events. Albert and I traveled to San Francisco to the largest Two-Spirit powwow in the world and displayed the archives there. So, I mean, it's really, the archives has a national and an international reputation now, and awesome. That's been really, really rewarding.
So largest in the world, isn't it?
I wouldn't say it's the largest in the world. It's certainly the The most comprehensive collection, at least here in Canada. There are pockets of records at the Queer Archives in Toronto and at the Trans Archives in Victoria, and then a few other collections across the country. But we're the only institution who are devoted to collecting Two-Spirit records in Canada. There is another collection, two other collections of Two-Spirit material in the United States.
It's an incredible accomplishment. Do you, I guess is there, maybe you kind of touched on it going to San Francisco, but a question for both, either of you, is there like a specific moment or accomplishment of the advisory council you'd say you're most proud of or find most memorable?
I think a lot of the education sessions that we do are really memorable. You can really see the difference that it makes for the students and the way that they connect with the material. And in particular, queer and trans students on campus who haven't had a lot of opportunity to connect with this idea that LGBTQ communities have always been there. And and then there's, you know, this narrative that comes out of the materials that are presented to them, that there are elders here talking about the way that Indigenous cultures on Turtle Island have always been queer, have always had spaces and acceptance for people who didn't necessarily fall into the gender binary, people who weren't heterosexual, people who had any level of expression of diversity in their gender and or sexuality. And to see those students connecting with that, I think is really phenomenal.
Yeah. And it's very visible, I guess, kind of growth, and you can see, I guess, the I don't know what the word is, but the goals of your mission being achieved, and I think that's probably very, it's got to be very, I think, special to witness and to facilitate.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say our goals have been achieved. This will be an ongoing process for us, but slowly, you know, we're seeing, you know, increased inclusion of Two-Spirit people, you know, within our collection mandate, but also, you know, archives across the country, you know, spurred on by the TRC inquiry and the MMIWG 2S inquiries. You know, the archives are you know, expanding their collection mandates to be more inclusionary of marginalized communities, and so that's really great to see, not just you know, within our holdings, but in archives across Canada.
Absolutely.
I'd also like to add that it's really incredible to see the process of cultural reclamation happening. So, you know, the archives itself and the way that the committee functions and the terms of reference of the committee have shifted even in the time I've been there. So, you know, we talk about the narrative of two-spiritedness, beginning with the term being gifted to Myra Laramie in ceremony while she was doing a ceremonial fast. And that term being there not to describe contemporary or colonial ideas around queerness, but rather as an umbrella term to say that these people have always been here.
Absolutely.
And
go ahead.
So I'm curious, in the archives, just taking a little bit of a shift into a personal interest, is in the archives, obviously you're going to connect with some of the material and find things that are like certain people who stand out the most to you. And what I'm wondering is who, for both of you, who in the archives is somebody that stands out really strongly for you?
Do you want me to go first? Well, for me, it's a person named Kelly Houle. So Kelly was a Two-Spirit trans individual who was a community support worker and a Two-Spirit activist as well, jingle dress dancer, very involved in ceremony. And Kelly became involved in the archives, you know, through our oral history project initially. So we have done a number of oral histories with Two-Spirit people, Kelly being one of them. And in that, in her story, she spoke about, you know, the importance of her ceremonial regalia. And she decided actually during that interview that, that she was going to donate that regalia to the archives. And after speaking with Kelly, it was because she felt like the regalia, she no longer wanted to dance. And the regalia, she felt, was not safe in her home. And so she felt like the Two-Spirit Archives was a safe space to donate that regalia. And so that really, you know, I felt honored that, you know, someone in the community felt that way about our space. Kelly later, shortly after that, passed away. We actually use that regalia as kind of the central image in our branding and our promotions. So, you know, Kelly's memory kind of lives on in that way.
That's incredible.
So the people that are involved in the archives to me are just phenomenal people to get to talk to and to get to meet and to work on the Two-Spirit Archives Advisory Council allows me to, like, talk to Dr. Elder Albert McLeod. It allows me to talk to Connie. It allows me to talk to Gav. And Brad. Like, all of these people with their perspectives and their ways of being and their laughter, and it's just such a lovely space. Mm-hmm. If I'm to think about, like, the material culture that exists in the archives, like, there's just so much of it that stands out in my mind. Like, there's this corn pin, like a pin that's just a little stalk of corn, and each of the kernels on the corn is a different color, like it's a rainbow corn pin, and it just it's just such a beautiful statement of land-based knowledge and culture and all of those things coming together in that space. There's these posters, these safer sex education posters from the late 90s, early 2000s, I think. And they're just like, some of them are very serious, some of them are very humorous. But there's just this level of humor and community and indigeneity embedded in each one of them. Like, one of them's a poster that uses bingo daubers. and it's, there's a photo of a person in drag on it, and it says B469. use protection or something like that, and then it's got like a condom rolled over a bingo it's hilarious, and it's just such a beautiful humorous way of providing this information to people at a time when we still weren't publicly talking about safer sex. We weren't having these conversations in a way, and there was still a lot of homophobia baked into the way that we thought about HIV, AIDS, and those conversations. Yeah.
So you have the Two-Spirit Archives on display this week, from what I understand. I believe it's from Monday to Friday, 9 to 4. Let's hear about that.
Sure, yeah. So we have kind of our default exhibition in the archives is the Two-Spirit Archives exhibit. We have just reassembled that, and it is available for viewing in the university archives during our operating hours, which is Monday to Friday, 9 to 4:30. So people are welcome to come in. You have to come into the library on the fourth floor of Centennial Hall, and then either take the elevator or the spiral staircase up to the fifth floor. That's where the archives is located. You know, just feel free to come in, take a look at the collection. There's those posters that Danielle spoke about, those are on display, as well as a few other kind of items from the collection that we've highlighted. I'll also mention that we will be at Pride Festival next weekend.
Awesome.
We'll be sharing a booth with the University of Winnipeg Bookstore, and we'll have pamphlets, and we have these cool canvas bags made that will be available for giveaway. So feel free to drop by next weekend and seek us out.
Amazing. Yeah. I guess just a few questions before we wrap up. Are there any notable challenges that either of you find in this work, and how do you overcome those?
Well, for me, kind of as the administrator, the challenges are resources. So the archives is a unit within the library. The library has a budget. So the archives just kind of draws from the library's budget, which is, fairly limited, especially with in recent years. But we make do with, we apply for grants, and we get money through grants. There's also, the human resources issues. We're a small unit. This collection actually could make use of a full-time archivist. But I am the only archivist on staff. So, it gets some of my time, but maybe not as much time as what it deserves. There's that. And then there's the issue that this is a community archive within a colonial institution.
Of course.
And so there is distrust within the community that needs to be overcome. And so there's some challenges with that.
I find that there's a lot, there's a fair amount of ignorance around Two-Spirit people and Two-Spirit communities. And a lot of people want to just say, oh, so they're gay and First Nations, or gay and
right.
Métis, and that's what it's about. And so I think doing that kind of education and facing those questions can be challenging. But it's also challenging to do the work in an environment where people are spreading misinformation.
Definitely.
And perpetuating stereotypes and participating in discourse that is homophobic or transphobic or in any way anti-Indigenous.
Right.
And those things are connected, right? When we talk about land reclamation, when we talk about cultural reclamation, those are sites of sovereignty.
Absolutely.
And that sovereignty includes queer people. And it is only through colonial narratives that we've developed this homophobia, this transphobia, this... And so... That's a real challenge, and having to have those conversations over and over and over again, and when you think all of a sudden you've made a difference and then something happens and it slaps you in the face, that's,
right.
That's difficult.
That's a good jumping off point for the next question I had, and both this is for both of you if you'd like to answer. What would you like people to know about Two-Spirit identity in the community that people tend not to, or that you think more people should know or be aware of?
Wow. Okay, so earlier I spoke to Myra Laramie, being given the term in ceremony, and that term was to describe the intersection of what colonial narratives frame as queerness or gayness or... and pre-colonial indigenous cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So recognizing that and recognizing that Two-Spirit is an umbrella term, and it isn't clearly defined anywhere, because it's not a single thing. It's an umbrella term that incorporates and brings under it any manner of queerness, but also acknowledging that these things are only queer because of a colonial narrative.
Yes. Sort of an inherent kind of inclusivity about it.
Right. But also that it is inherently indigenous as well.
Exactly.
And then the other piece is to recognize that not everyone who is indigenous and has an identity that would be considered queer now is comfortable with that term. And so even when we use it sort of as an umbrella term, we have to be conscious that there's people who describe themselves as indigiqueer or, you know, Anishinaabe and LGBTQ. And so in its inclusivity, it's also important to leave space for people that aren't comfortable being there too.
Absolutely. And how can people support the Two-Spirit Archives Advisory Council? How can people contribute or visit, or how are those set up?
So the archives is open and available to anyone who wants to come and access the collection. We do ask that you please make an appointment before you arrive so that we make sure that we're appropriately staffed for your visit. Yeah. But also we are looking at accepting donations. So if you are Two-Spirit, if you have some material in your home or within your community, you know, please recognize that material is valuable. And that it is valuable to tell the history of this people, and the University of Winnipeg Archives, you know, would certainly be interested in having a conversation with you about assuming stewardship for those materials. We do have a different model in terms of acquisitions for our Indigenous donors, where the donors retain ownership over their records, and the archives assumes stewardship over those materials. So the archives mm-hmm. is responsible for their preservation, for their access over time. But should the donor or the community feel as though you know, the archives isn't holding up their end of the bargain, then they have the right to, you know, repatriate those records and find a more suitable home for them, always retaining ownership over their material. So if you're interested, happy to have a conversation with anybody who might be interested in contributing in that way to the Two-Spirit Archives.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much. I was going to ask Megan if you had any remaining questions.
Sorry to put you on the spot like that. No, I don't have any more questions, but I'm very excited to come through and see the display. I'm especially excited to see the Bingo Dabber ad. I think that's going to be really awesome. I just wanted to thank you both for coming down today and having a chat with us and sharing with the world what the Two-Spirit Archives is all about.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, real pleasure to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.